Welcome to InfoNation, University of Illinois at Chicago's very own podcast created by students for students. At InfoNation, we discover how media, information, and communication are created, governed, and used. Produced by upper-level communication students in the Department of Communication, InfoNation brings academic research to help make sense of our increasingly mediated society. We go to the library so that you won't have to. Hello, this is Esther, and today we will be focusing on an ever-important topic that seems to be drawing increased attention as the years go by, kids and screen technology. Throughout the course of this podcast, we'll be exploring the problem of overexposing children to screen technology. You will hear from a mother of young children and her opinion on this matter. You will also hear an interview with an academic professional whose research interests include youth and digital media, as well as some insight on the topic from a communication professor at the university. But before we dive in, we send Agnes to talk to the real experts and find out what they think.
Thank you, Esther. I visited the preschool class of Holy Trinity Polish Saturday School and asked some of the students their opinion on screens. Here's what they had to say.
How old are you?
I'm three. I'm three and a half.
And what's your favorite game?
Playing balls.
Playing with a ball?
Yes.
Outside?
Yes.
Okay.
Television. Checkers.
Candyland.
Snow and White.
Snow White?
Mm-hmm.
Is it a computer game or iPad game?
iPad.
iPad? Do you rather play video games or playing on the iPad, or do you like playing outside better?
I like playing on my computer.
I could play outside with my bubbles. Computer today.
I'll play outside.
Play outside? Do you watch TV at home?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yes.
Do you rather play outside or watch TV?
Watch TV.
Watch TV.
Do you have a favorite TV show or movie?
We have different kinds of movies. Like, we have an Elsa movie.
I have Frozen. I have a Queen.
Mickey Mouse.
Do you watch a lot of TV at home?
No, Daddy says it's not good for eyes. Yeah.
Yes.
No.
How much TV do you watch at home? Do you watch a lot of TV or not so much?
Not so much.
Does mommy and daddy say that it's bad for you, or?
That's not bad.
Do you know how to use a computer or an iPad?
Yeah.
No, I got a toy computer.
And I don't know. Just my mom and dad to do it.
Do you like technology?
Yes.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Nah. You tell me. Yes.
What do you like about technology? Why do you like technology?
Because they have different kind of movies and iPads.
Because I love it so much.
You like it so much?
Yeah.
Now that we know what the little ones think, let's turn the table to the other side. Liz Miller is the mother of 2 5-year-old twin boys, and she has agreed to speak with us today. Welcome to the show, Liz.
Do you implement screen time rules for your kids at home?
We do, loosely. We keep it very low, I think, but we don't always check the clock. They just don't have that much of it. There's not that much time in their day that allows for that. They go to school all day long. They often have after-school activities, sports, and taekwondo. And by the time they get home, there's just no time.
What would you say is more important to you? How much time your boys are spending in front of the screen, or what content they're watching?
At age 5, they have no decision-making power about what they watch. We are much more concerned about the content of what they're doing, which is almost entirely educational, because that's what interests them right now. They happen to be very into the solar system and the body and how systems work and things like that. So that's what they want to watch. They're not trying to watch SpongeBob. They're not trying to watch random videos on YouTube or anything like that.
How old were your kids when you first deliberately introduced them to screen technology?
I don't know if any parent deliberately introduces them to screen technology.
Yeah.
It's just everywhere you are.
Exactly.
I remember being at a doctor's appointment with one of them when he was probably 3.
Mm-hmm.
And we were in this waiting room that was jammed with people, and I pulled something up on my phone and gave it to him because we had nothing else. I just did not expect it to be a really long wait.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember thinking, like, this is the beginning of having to give him my phone everywhere I go. And I have twins, so we can't, I mean, unless my husband and I are together, there's not 2 phones to give them. So I don't want to get in that habit of them thinking if there's a lull in our activity that they should get my phone. They definitely saw TV before that. We were aware of that AAP recommendation about nothing before age 2.
Okay.
Which seemed completely unrealistic to me. So we did not get to 2 before they ever saw a screen. Definitely did not.
Yeah.
But it was a rarity until they were 2.
Okay. So I was going to just ask, so would you say that you sometimes do use, either TV or, like, tablet or something like that, just so that you can go and get chores finished, work on stuff?
Yes, yeah. Definitely. Yeah. Definitely. It is the only thing that we can guarantee they will
stay
not divert from. Yes, exactly.
Are you worried about your children as they get older that they might become too consumed with screen technology?
I don't necessarily worry that they'll become obsessed with it,
mm-hmm.
but I do think their standards will be different from mine and from my husband's. Mm-hmm. You know, it is hard to imagine a volcano or a deep sea dive without the use of videos. And since they're available, why wouldn't you use them to show your kids these things you want them to understand? But I do hope they'll still be able to conceptualize these things from books. Like, they can, I want them to be able to read a book and imagine what it looks like and not think, I'm going to look up what this looks like. So that's what I kind of worry about. You know, maybe my husband and I are out one night and we come home in the morning and they say, what did you do? And we say, oh, we went out with some friends and went to dinner. They'll say, can I see a video? Oh. You know, they think everything is available on video or in some sort of image for them.
Yeah.
So I don't really worry about them becoming obsessed with it. I do think it will be much more the norm. The reality is we're going into a digital world.
Yeah.
I mean, we are in a digital world.
There's nothing to stop that, yeah.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So I think this idea of time limiting is pretty unrealistic. There's just too many things to do. They're getting iPads in schools.
Yes.
That is how they get their homework done now.
Yeah.
You can't take 2 hours of screen time if they have to do 4 hours of homework on their iPad.
Exactly, yes.
Yeah.
Perfect. Do you have anything else to add?
My kids are still very young. I know this challenge is going to get a lot harder as they get older and have more control and more opinions about what they want to see. Right now, they are not that influenced by what other people are interested in. They just don't get it yet.
Oh.
So I know this is going to get harder. And I know that we ourselves are going to get more lax because as they get older, the things we want to watch and the things they want to watch are going to overlap more.
Exactly.
And we may say, oh, let's just put on a show before bed that we can all enjoy.
Yeah.
So I know we're going to have to make more choices than we have to make now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
Thank you for your time and wonderful insights, Liz. We will now turn the conversation over to Karina.
So I just want to start off by saying welcome to the InfoNation podcast. And I'd just like to start with you giving a brief introduction of yourself, just so our listeners know who's on the other line.
Yes, my name is Adrienne Massonari, and I'm an assistant professor at the University of Illinois at Chicago, Department of Communication.
And can you give us a little background on your research?
Sure. I'm interested in generally the social and cultural implications of new media technology. I've written on things such as Reddit. I also do work on video games and digital ethics and design.
So our main focus for this episode in particular is kids and screen time.
I'm more concerned about sort of the rhetoric around the fact that we are very, very, very concerned as a culture with kids having access to these devices, but that we don't really have a good sense of sort of the science behind that and whether or not that's really something we need to be worried about. Maybe contrary to Sherry Turkle, who is the big person who's been talking about sort of the death of conversation and the death at the dinner table, you know, we don't really know that that's really what the problem is.
Right, right. I think part of the problem is the parents these days, they just don't have that information at their fingertips. It's not being talked about enough.
Right. And it's also the other issue is, and I think this is the part that, I mean, Sherry Turkle in her book, The Conversation, I believe that's her newest book, talks about, is that – part of it is that parents themselves are really addicted to screen time, right? So,
exactly.
So it's hard to sort of set boundaries with kids if you have parents who are equally sort of, we could not pejoratively say this, but pejoratively say addicted to their screen, you know, to their screens. One of the things that I'm sure you came across the work of Dana Boyd, who does a lot of work with youth and technology, she talks a lot about the idea that when we think about kids and going online, and there's sort of all these moral panics that we have about, for example, kids going on the social networks and sharing material that they shouldn't share, or using or taking selfies or whatever, you know, sexting people, or all those kinds of things that we kind of see as being perhaps negative. You know, she's saying, well, what's happened is you've created a culture in which kids used to go out and, you know, sort of roam around the neighborhood on their bikes and daily and have that experience. And now we're going to the mall together or whatever. And those spaces don't exist anymore. That's not where kids hang out. So they hang out online.
Thank you for that insight. If our listeners would like to follow your research, where can they find you?
Yeah, I'm at Hegemony Rules, which is kind of a mouthful, on Twitter. I'm also, you can find me on the UIC's Department of Communication website, and my email address and information is there. Or you can go to my personal website, which is adrianmasinari.com.
Much, Adrian.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you so much. You too.
Now we'll hand the mic over to Esther, who will be interviewing our second expert on the topic of kids and screens.
Hello, and welcome to this episode of InfoNation. To start off, if you could just give us a brief introduction to our listeners.
Yeah, so my name is Sherry Katz, and I have, first I have a professional background in advertising and public relations. Worked for about 14 years professionally in the industry. I also have a PhD, and I'm a faculty member at the University of Minnesota, where I research persuasion, technology, and youth.
Nice. That sounds great. Well, we're really excited to have you, so thank you again for being here with us. So let's begin. This episode is on children's screen technology. So we're specifically looking at the different effects the use of screen technology that it has on children. So if you can just tell us a little bit about your research pertaining to children and using the internet.
Sure. So some of the work that I've done has involved how children use the internet and what their parents know about it. Mm-hmm. So in other words, and specifically teenagers. So one finding that I have from a few papers, it's a few different projects, it's one big project with a few different papers, is that parents tend to underestimate how often kids experience risky activity online, mm-hmm. things like cyberbullying, looking at pornography, and then they overestimate how often their kids are using the internet for beneficial purposes, like homework and even seeking health information. But what we find is that kids are very visible with what they do online in a way that's positive. So in other words, they will show their parents when they're doing homework. And I mean, this goes without saying, it's kind of obvious, but they do sort of hide the more risky experiences. Mm-hmm. So they hide when they're getting cyberbullied, and they hide when they are doing things maybe that they shouldn't be, like looking at pornography. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, great. So the American Pediatric Association, so they first recommended that no screen time for children under the age of 2, but now that's changed. Do you have any, you know, insight on that, or?
I think they recently did change that, and that was actually very telling, because I think what they're starting to recognize and what they have said instead is that what they recommend is that parents are mediating and being aware of how their kids are using technology. Mm-hmm. And so one of the things that they made a distinction between, and that scholars have started making a distinction between, researchers have made a distinction between really screen time that is interactive and screen time that isn't interactive. So in other words, there is a difference between FaceTiming with your grandparents, for example, versus sitting in front of a screen as a toddler, say, mm-hmm. or as a young child, and just passively watching something. And both are okay in moderation. Obviously, the first is far more interactive, and we're less concerned about that in terms of screen time. Mm-hmm. But with every sort of type of media that's used, it changes in some way how we process information and how we think. And certainly, you know, children today are growing up, like young kids right now are growing up in a world in which they're sort of always connected and always on, and that's all they've ever known.
Yeah.
So having access to media all the time is a very big thing. But in my own view, I think, you know, the kids can learn for sure from media. They used to think they couldn't learn at all before age two. I actually don't believe that. I think they learn differently after age two. They have language skills by two. They're starting to develop language, so they're going to learn in a different way. I think where we have to be careful is if kids are just sort of sitting still passively watching versus doing something, whether playing a game, talking with somebody. That said, the passive watching is okay in moderation, I think. And certainly what we find is that kids do make connections. I did a project with very young kids and very old, up until teenagers. And what I found is that some of the simple connections, like between eating vegetables and being healthy, if you're trying to teach that in a media lesson, they get that even at a very young age. So,
yeah. Oh, great. So I know that you've done some research on like persuasion technology in youth. Is there anything really surprising that you found like advertising content having an effect on children?
The big study that I did there was finding that connection, that they do make connections in the messages. So the big thing that scholars have shown is that kids don't really differentiate ads versus other content. Mm-hmm. They don't understand the difference. They might understand their favorite characters left the screen and something else is happening. But they don't really understand the goal of a persuasive message. They don't have the mindset of understanding someone's trying to sell me something. So they take it very matter-of-factly.
Okay.
And we know that from the literature. In my work, I was able to show that they can actively process the message, meaning that they can make those connections between those simple activities and those simple goals. But that's a little different than understanding the persuasive purpose of the message, if that makes sense.
Okay.
So they understand that, you know, they may understand if I eat vegetables, then I'm healthier than if I eat cookies. They may get that sort of message from a persuasive ad, like a, say, a health campaign. But what they don't get is that, like, if somebody's showing them a cereal ad, they don't necessarily understand that, you know, eating cereal, this company is trying to sell me the cereal, and that's why they're making it look fun and good. They just see fun, good cereal,
okay.
If that makes sense.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You don't understand the motivation, I guess, of the advertiser.
Okay.
And that's a big thing. And it's about 8 years old where that starts to switch over.
Okay. Wow. Is there anything else that you would like to add that we haven't really covered yet?
Yeah, so one thing I think, and this happens with every generation, is there's this sort of backlash against the media with, oh, the media is making our kids, whether it's lazy, whether it's inactive, whether it's, and there is some truth to that, you know, in the sense that if you spend all of your days just watching television day and night, or if you're a child who does nothing else that's intellectually engaging, or if you're a toddler who rather than going to school or working with other kids or going to play groups, if you're just sitting there in front of the television all the time every day, you're going to have negative effects. There will be a negative effect. However, if it's mixed into life in the same way it is in our life, it is something that media is something that we all are engaging with every day, then it's a different story. And I think then it's about what you're doing and making sure what you're doing is moderate. But I will say, and I say this having a daughter myself, is that sometimes we don't actually, as adults, show the best behavior either. If I'm sitting there with my phone at the dinner table, I'm training that connection to the screen time that maybe isn't the best connection to be training.
Mm-hmm.
And I find myself doing that a lot, which isn't good.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are guilty of that.
So,
great.
So, yeah, I hope this has helped. And
yeah, it's awesome. Yeah, thank you so much. So although our time has been short, we do have to wrap things up. So if our listeners want to follow your research, where can they find you?
Sure. So I have a website. It's sherryjeankatz.com, which is my full name. And also I'm reachable through the University of Minnesota, their webpage for school journalism.
All right. Great. Well, thank you again, Sherry. It's been a great pleasure.
Unfortunately, our podcast is slowly drawing to a close. So here is Brandon with a quick recap.
Thanks, Esther. So in today's podcast, you heard from a bunch of toddlers expressing their opinions on the topic of kids and screen time. You also listened to a mother of two young boys explaining her experience with raising kids in this digital world. And finally, you heard from two academic experts who conduct research in this field. After listening to all this information, we hope that you understand the need to work together as a community to educate others on healthy screen usage habits, starting with displaying them ourselves. Hopefully, the examination of each perspective concerning the topic of kids and screens will provide new insight to parents, child caretakers, and educators alike, helping them make healthy and responsible decisions regarding screen time usage for their children. Your children and grandchildren will thank you.
To wrap things up, I, Esther Lupanku, want to take a moment to thank my co-hosts, Agnes Wazalowski, Karina Jackaloni, and Brandon Henricks. Thank you to the preschool class of Holy Trinity School. Thank you, Benson, for providing background music to the kids' comments. Thank you to our interviewees, Liz Miller, Dr. Adrian Massonari, and Dr. Sherry Katz. And of course, thank you to our listeners for tuning in. Thank you for listening to InfoNation, coming to you from the University of Illinois at Chicago, Department of Communication. Our theme music was created by Sean Rizvi, a 2015 graduate. We hope it piqued your interest and you learned something new today. Please feel free to engage by rating, commenting, or sharing our episodes.